we're back in Timothy 1, 1 Timothy 1, and one of the big things that struck me now that we're in the 1 Timothy, the other epistles were written to a specific group of people. But here, Paul is writing to this young Timothy, and he's telling him these things that Timothy's has been with Paul for a while and has learned a lot of this stuff, for sure. But I think the reason that Paul is doing this to Timothy is that he realizes his time's about up. You know, on the earth, and especially if you get into 2 Timothy, because his time was pretty much up. But this mystery truth is such an important factor in the overall plan and purpose of God that someone was going to have to carry it on until pleroma comes, or the filling of the body of Christ. And so, not only is this to young Timothy, or younger Timothy, much younger than Paul was, but to the rest of us that's come along all these years later, that we need to be the surrogate Paul, if you will, because we need to continue this teaching to who knows when pleroma is going to be. Who knows when Christ is going to be filled, his body is going to be filled. And there's not going to be one left that wasn't supposed to be there. Whatever that deal is, and however we're transported, it's all that's going to ever be there is going to be there. And so, it is up to us to carry on this message. And the more I look at it, the more I realize and understand that that's kind of the way it is. We'll get started and not take up much time on that tonight, but I wanted to remind everybody again that, you know, here we are, and we have, this is kind of like an occupation that we should take up for the time that the Lord has left us here on the earth, that we need to tell others and show others about the finished work of Christ. Not just the dying on the cross and being pierced and giving the blood, but for the very fact that we have hope in all of that, and I don't want to use times, but I don't know of any other way to do it. End times coming, which is forever, but still.
I use purpose.
When the time comes that he is going to appear and we will appear with him, then we will have life again the way it was supposed to be in the beginning. In the sense of that we will always be part of the Godhead. We'll be part of the body of Christ, part of the Godhead. And so whatever it is that's to be done, there's two ways to look at this thing, terrestrial and celestial. And terrestrial is the earthly. And the earthly is God's inheritance, and the celestial is Christ's inheritance. When all things is put under his feet, and he says, okay, Father, I've got it. Here it is. I'm done with it. So then there's going to be two great groups, because God set up the terrestrial, the earthly people, That was the Israelites. That was the Hebrews. That was the Jews, or whatever it is you want to call them. But then, that was Abraham's blood being carried on. But when Christ went to the cross, then that ushered in a new time and a new blood that paid the price for us and gave us this great hope that we have. Verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And that took a little bit of work. But Christ is, he has and has always been the Son of God, has always been the Father's fabricator. If the Father wanted it, the Son did it and made it and caused it to work and put all these things in place. That when he come here and he'd done these little things like walking on water, people, "Oh my word, how does he do that?" Well, he knows how it works. He's read the instruction. He is part of the instruction book. A great part of it. So here we are.
What was it he said on the ship? "To the waters, be still."
Yeah.
And it slept off.
Everything minded the voice of the Creator.
Of its Creator, yeah.
Okay. So here we are. He and it. And Paul says, "Our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Because Paul was fighting it, tooth and nail. You go back to Acts 9, you'll know that. I'm hitting the water pretty heavy tonight. Eat some dressing for supper. Okay, now I'm going to read my notes like I usually do. And then we'll read out from the Koine Greek into the English, and then we'll do Jack's. So verse 12 says this, and the heading of this in the structure is Paul the Trusted Minister. And he says this, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me." Now I've left out there the word and hath, because that has been added to it in the King James Version. "The Lord who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful." And faithful there, if you go back and look at that, is the word pistos. And it means sure and true. Putting me or appointing me into or into the center of the ministry or this ministry or this service. And so that was my notes that I come up with from some of the things that I had looked at there. And then we've got a bunch of following verses to look at. But let's look at what Jack says in 12. And this is down from the Koine Greek. And it says, "Thank I him who strengthened me in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us, that faithful me he esteemed appointing unto service." And down to the more modern English, it says, I thank him who strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, that he esteemed me faithful, appointing unto service. So that's how it come down out of the Koine Greek. And then Jack's notes here, I call them notes. Some of it's a little longer than maybe a note would be, but that's okay. It says the gratitude is continuous and is rather an attitude than a pointed occurrence. Certainly God strengthened Paul for the commission he was performing. Paul rejoices in God's entrusting him with his service. His faithfulness is enjoined and he is appointed ongoing and specific works. And he says this, consider Acts 9:22, Philippians 4:12, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 3, Ephesians 4:12, and Matthew 20:26. Now that's what Jack was asking us to look at before we leave this verse of scripture. Okay, so let's go back and we'll start. Well, let's just go to first. Let's go to Matthew 20:26, and then we'll head back down the book this way. Matthew 20. Matthew 20:26. Okay. Matthew 20:26 says this. It's on page 1355, and it says, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Talking about those that he called and so if you find someone that's called, really check him out, because he might know things you don't know. I'd went to church on and off for 33 years. And when Brother Larry come to Wolf State, and I heard two or three messages, I says, where's this man been all my life? And my grandfather was a preacher. He was an evangelist, a Wesleyan Methodist evangelist. But this man was telling me things that I hadn't heard before. So, you know, it might be a little different, but yeah, check it out. So that's what Matthew here is trying to show us. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That pretty much describes what we're talking about here. And that's what Jack wanted us to know, although he put it at the end of his notes, but we're going to kind of go the way the book goes, so I want to look with you at Acts. So let's go to Acts 9, and we'll pick it up in Acts 9 and go from there, and I'm not sure I got them in order, but I'm going to do them that way. Boy, Acts 8 and 9 is a lot of stuff there, mm-hmm. because a lot happened there in Acts 8, 9, and 10. Okay, in Acts 9:22 says this, but Saul, which we know as Paul, increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews that dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So the one that Paul was putting in jail, having the warrants for, the what we call the John Doe warrants, he could fill in the name and jail you for believing in things that you didn't believe in, or things you might have not have heard, but nevertheless, that's the way that went. That was on page 1599, by the way. And we're going to go from there. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look at verse 16. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to page you two off. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 16. And I put my marker in the wrong 15:16. Okay. It's on page 1722. Talking about, and this is establishing the doctrinal teaching concerning resurrection. It says, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So, see? A lot of times one verse doesn't tell you the whole story. And so we have to look at it and that a little bit. Now that was on page 17. 22. I said, yeah, okay. Now, we want to go to 2 Corinthians 3. Let's see if I've got that marked out. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3. And we want to look at 7 and 8. That's on page 1731. It starts on 1731 and goes to 1732. Got it marked both faith. Okay, it says, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So it says, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in that glory. Yep. So that is 1 Corinthians there that Paul wanted us to look at. Okay. I want to go to Ephesians 4, 12 and 13 on page 1766. Okay. And I want to look at 4, 7, and 8 there. No. We'll look at 4, 12, and 13. I'm sorry. 4, 12, and 13. I better put this back because that's not what I wanted to see. I've got several of them. 4, 12, and 13. Well, let's go back to 10 and look at 10 to 13. He that descended is the same that ascended that far above all heavens that he might fill the all things. I know thee ain't there, but this, when you get into this, it talks about the all things quite a lot. And he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here's three things, that he talks about after he says that, he descended and he gave some different gifts. 13. The perfecting there is to put into order the saints, to prepare, to restore, and to frame their mind and their heart. And if you didn't catch that before, if I didn't tell you that when I went through Ephesians, I'm telling you now. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness or the pleroma of Christ. That is how long we're supposed to carry this message on. We're supposed to carry it till we're not here anymore, but we're supposed to be able to give it to others that can do the same thing, because none of us are going to live this 2,000 years that God has already given us to live. Okay. One more place. And let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4:12. Okay. I'm going to read from 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. That was a full stop there, Paul. And here's the reason why. For I have learned that in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Full stop again. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthening me. Does that give you that kind of puts the frame around the picture that we've just done?
Amen.
No doubt. Amen. Okay. So that gets verse 12. And you say, well, Steve, taking a long time. No. We could go on all night with that. Because all of these things that we mentioned, we could go back to and enlarge on that, and the picture would just get bigger and bigger. It's just like it would be an exploding a picture some type of an enlargement. It could just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's like a tone at work. This ain't no sprint. This is a marathon.
Yeah. Let's go to 13. Back to 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 13. It says this. Talking about putting him into his ministry. Says, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. See, he's telling young Timothy this because young Timothy wasn't with him then.
He didn't know him from back in the
day. Didn't know him at that time. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Oh, my goodness. We've read this before, but we need to look at it again for sure. My notes, 13. It says who? Starts out with who was. This is Paul saying who I was before. Okay. In previous standings, being unsaved, being a blasphemer, and that's in the Strong's, in the Greek, it's 999. In the Greek, and it means the way it's pronounced is bothanos. It means a hole or a cistern, a ditch or a pit, and a persecutor. When he talks about a blasphemer, what talks about one that's in a hole and can't get out of a hole, really, is what it's pointing to. Because of being unsaved and not knowing the truth. He knew Scripture, but he didn't know the truth in that situation.
Well, you are, if you think about it, when you're in that state of unbelief, you are kind of in a hole.
Until
that hand of love and faith and belief comes and pulls you out of that hole, you're stuck.
You're stuck in that thing.
It's a good analogy.
And it says a persecutor. Now, Paul only uses that word one time in Scripture here, and this is it. The persecutor is Doukhiti, and it means an injurious one or an insulter. So he had the paperwork from the high priest, from Israel's high priest, to do this. Stamp out this Christ, Jesus. We don't need him. We don't need him. He's not of us. Well, Paul was in that hole, and he got pretty deep in that hole, but he became a persecutor. That's 1376. And it means to pursue, to follow after, given to suffer, to press after, and to be an injurious or an insulter. And that's where it becomes a full stop in 13. And it says this, but I obtained mercy. I was retrieved from my deep spot and lying in my waste.
Well,
because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Wow. He ain't pulling no punches here with young Timothy when he's telling him about himself. Because he lives with it every day. Paul lived with that every day.
Yeah, and I know God forgave him for what he did.
Yeah,
with,
but I'm not sure that Paul did forgive
him. He never forgave himself.
He couldn't forgive himself. That was something that was always, always, always on his mind. And so he turned it around into that ministry and that work so fervently until He didn't look back on it very often. No. Occasionally he had to. And this is one time that he had to, because he wanted young Timothy to know this. Okay, now let's look at what Jack says about it in 13, verse 13. If we look at it now from the Koine Greek, it says the previously being blasphemer and persecutor and insolent, but rather was shown mercy because being ignorant, I did it in unbelief. Previously being the blasphemer and the persecutor and the insolent, but rather I was shown mercy because being ignorant, I acted in unbelief. Paul was anything but a God pleaser in his past. Now we can all agree with that, I think. Yet he was ignorant. Could not many of our present sinners plead ignorance? Indeed. So this should move us to compassion for the sinner. Every lost sinner is a potential Paul. That was the agent of his conversion. Mercy is the answer to the sinner's prayer. In Paul's case, the mercy threw him from his animal and blinded him that he might see. And guess what? The ignorance was overcome by the light of the world. Woo! You ever thought about that?
Yep.
His ignorance was overcome by John 8:12, the light of the world. Okay. Three or four places we need to look here. I thought Jack really did a good one on that one. Okay. We're going to look. Well, we'll flip around a little bit because let's go back to the book of Mark. We don't get into the book of Mark much. So we'll start with Mark. And I should find it rather easy in the book of Mark because I think there's just only one bookmark here. Matthew, Mark. Mark 7:22. I may have not even
marked.
Marked it out. Mark 7:22. Well, or maybe I didn't. I thought I did. I'll find it right now in a second. I'm in Mark 7, so let me find 22. Well, I didn't mark it. I didn't put a marker in my Bible. Okay, Mark 7:22 is on page 1399. It says, well, let's go to 21. We'll do 21, 22, and 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Full stop. But listen to the next thing that comes up. All these evil things come from within and defiles the man. Okay, we got Mark 22. Okay, that was the first one. So, let's go to Acts 22. And we'll just take them as we get, as they come down. And let's go to Acts 22. And we're going to look at Acts 22, verse 4. Okay. That's on page 1640 if you have a companion Bible. And Paul says, and Dr. Luke says, I think it was Paul talking, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So he's talking back again to Acts 9 here that we go to. And he talks about, and it came to pass, through his journey, he regurgitates that message here.
Yep.
In Acts 22. So that was the one in Acts. Okay. I guess the next one we need to look at is Galatians. No. Let's look at Romans 1:30 while we're going through here. Romans 1:30. I do have it marked out, and it's on page 1665. And he's talking about people who did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And it says, let's start with 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful.
Wow.
Full stop again. But listen to this. Who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have pleasure in them that do them. So this is early on in Romans. Okay, let's go to Galatians. Galatians 1. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians again and 2 Corinthians and then Galatians. 1 Corinthians 15:10. And it seems like we'll go back to Corinthians a lot. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. Okay. Paul says this, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, full stop. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Yep.
That is a great statement. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. That's not very far on down the line. 2 Corinthians 4. For what? 4:1. Yeah. I didn't have that one marked. Two of them I missed. I mean, I knew where they were because I had the numbers down, but I didn't put a marker there. Therefore, or because of this, Paul says, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And Paul says this, but if it, our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Full stop. He tells you before the full stop here.
It's like Paul was in that hole of unbelief.
Yeah. So all this goes back to giving you the understanding of his unbelief. Now there's another one or two that we need to look at. Two more. We'll go to Galatians 1, and that's not too far down the list from Corinthians. Galatians 1:13, and then 23. Galatians 1:13 says this, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past. Matter of life, he's saying. In the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and I wasted it. That's full stop. And there's lots between there and the next verse Jack wanted us to look at. In 23. Let me read that again, okay? For ye have heard of my conversation or manner of life in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. So there's a lot of stuff between those two verses, but you go from one to the other, it gives you a greater understanding of that without going through other avenues of things to look at. One more, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to get into Miss Lane's book for just a minute. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. That's after 2 Timothy. And Titus. No. It's before 1 Timothy, isn't it? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 2:2. I'm sorry. I was going the wrong way. 1 Thessalonians 2, that's in page 1789. I'll just start with 2:1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. At Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put into trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, because if people don't agree with you on the word of God, Paul says, or it was said somewhere, kick the dust off your feet and go on to go elsewhere. Okay. So, we went through two verses. How much time we got left?
9:22.
Let's go back and see what 14 says. Okay, let's do 14 right quick, and then we'll, I don't know how much scripture we're with that one. Not a whole lot. But 14 says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, my notes talks this way, and the grace or the undeserved favor that we have of our Lord, because we were all sinners, was exceedingly abundant, or overabounding, or abounding over all. And that word in it starts with Hooper, so that means it is overall, it's more than. With faith and love, which is charity, which is in Christ Jesus. And so that was my notes there, which the verse of Scripture kind of explains itself. So let's bring it down out of the Greek. It says superabounding. But the grace of our Lord, of the Lord, of us, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. But the grace of our Lord superabounded with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And Jack's notes is this. Here we see grace taking center stage. This is what he's telling now to the young man that he knows well at this time. And he has seen this grace at work, for sure. Grace is often, through the centuries and ages, superabounded. Rely on your own strength, if you will. But grace superabounds. Christ is faithful. Man is not very faithful. The love of God is long-suffering to hold up the beginnings and the tottering faith until one can grow into the superabounding grace. Okay. There's three places here, basically. Let's go back to Acts 9 again for just a minute. Seems like we can't get out of Acts 9 because there was a lot that went on there. And as I said before, we're going to look at Acts 9:5. And it says this. And this is Paul when he's down on the ground. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Full stop. And the question was asked, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Christ had him down where he wanted him. And he says, okay, boy.
Not so easy to go, is it?
Are you doing pretty good kicking against me? No. Okay. Acts. We're still in Acts. We're going back to 22 again. And that's probably the reason I didn't have some of these things, because I may have already taken them out. Acts 22. Okay. 7. And it says this, in Acts 22:7, this is part of that where he is retelling the story. And he says, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Okay, one more place. 26:14, Acts. Okay, it's on page 16:51. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? He could not ever forget that. That was something that hung with him on and on and on. And part of that, I think, was because of his eyes. He had some problems with his eyes. Okay, let's go back to Philippians. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians first, and we're going to look at 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And 12:9, I think, is on two different pages. But it starts out on 17:45. And it split the verse there. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, then the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One other place, Philippians 4, again. In Philippians 4, we're going to look at verse 13 and 19. And let's read it kind of like we read the other one. In Philippians 4:13, on page 1779, if you have a copy of your Bible, we're going to read 13 and then turn the page to 19. And 13 says this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's look and see what 19 says. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we'll stop the study there for this night. And to understand that Paul was telling young Timothy things he may or may not have been with. Some of the things certainly he wasn't there when it happened. But to bring them back again and to get that understanding through verse 14. And we'll stop there and pick up 15 the next time and go on with that. Thank you for your gracious attention, and hope that you got something good out of it as I tried to present it to you in a way that could be understood. Thank you for your love and grace, and always pray for me that. Give me strength to carry on. Thanks very much, folks.